Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and guys, Michael has been such a popular fixture on this podcast that he is back again, as you know from the title, and he bought his own microphone, so I don't have to keep borrowing from my buddy.
Well, I think he kind of told me you probably should.
Yeah, exactly. it was getting to be a bit much where I'd have to keep going to my buddy Rich, the campaign advisor, because he loves coming on enough that he bought his own microphone. And I'm like, dude, can I borrow your microphone? So now Michael has his own. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, why not?
Yeah, we're all set up now. And you are coming through a little bit quiet. So yeah, we don't have... Well, there's still a little tweaking of the setup to be done, but I think you're going to be able to hear him just fine. So today's topic is the investigative interview and your Weingarten rights in general. And the investigative interview is referred to as your day in court because this is where you are going to lay out your defense, essentially, and your side of what happened. A truthful and honest investigative interview that's conducted by management should be a fact-finding mission, where they should be trying to figure out what happened and did you do this thing that they're concerned that you did. In most cases, it feels like the investigative interview is a witch hunt, where they've already decided that you're guilty and now they're just looking for evidence. And so we're going to talk about that sort of situation as well. But again, it's important to remember, this is your day in court. This is where you get the chance to lay out your affirmative defense for what happened and why you don't think you should be in trouble. Or maybe you do think you should be in trouble, but we're still going to make sure that you get treated fairly. So, Michael, go ahead.
Well, the process it works for is when a manager comes up to you and says, hey, we're going to do an investigative interview.
Right.
And at that point, you have rights. Okay, you do not have to be in the investigative by yourself. You have the right to get a representative. Now, here's the thing. You have to request a representative. Management does not have to use them. Okay, so it is actually the employee's decision to use the representative. And when they say that I want a representative is when they have to get you a representative.
That is correct. Yeah. And you get to choose your representative. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have two stewards at your station and you know that one is a lot more proactive than the other, you're going to choose that one. You can say, I want Alan to be my steward, or I want Michael to be my steward and come in here. Now, if there's an alternate steward, they don't necessarily have to let you use the alternate if the full-time stewards
are available. That's
not true. Oh, okay.
Not true. They can use anybody.
I could have sworn I just saw an M document agreement about that, or it was in the JCAM.
Nope.
Okay, well, there you go. So you can even use the alternate steward.
And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Okay. Per Weingarten rights, which is the Supreme Court versus, it was some company versus Weingarten.
It was Weingarten versus the NLRB, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And so that came out to be where it gives all rights to the employee to get a representative that is steward, that is a coworker and another employee, and so on, so that you are able to use whoever you want basically as a representative. And they're called a Weingarten representative when you pick them, okay? Now, that is what the Supreme Court ruling is. But in our JCAM, actually says to use a steward, okay?
Right.
And I believe I know the reason why. Because stewards should know what Weingarten right is, and they know to keep the copy of the investigative interview, and they're told what the Weingarten rights are and what you can say and can't say, and they know a lot more about how to work that system.
Right. That's generally going to be your best defender, essentially.
Exactly. And so that is the reason why it's in the JCAM saying you should get a representative that is a steward. But if there is no steward present, then I would say it goes by what the Weingarten writes per NLRB, which is you can choose whoever representative you want.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. Mm-hmm. Even in the Weingarten decision, you can even choose a coworker.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call.
So, like at my station, if there's no stewards available, you can just ask for me.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good... Yeah. Because, and dude, if I'm at Michael's station, you bet your ass I'm going to ask for Michael to come in there with me.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, people have come through the... I've had other stewards where management tries to investigate, interview me, and they're like, man, your answer is so much better than anybody else's.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I've had the same thing at my station. Like, it's a totally different experience going into the investigative interview with me because I'm in there actively fighting as if it's your day in court because mm-hmm. that's what it is. Because after that, you get your day in court and then you get your verdict. And mm-hmm. the verdict is management's decision to whether or not to issue discipline. So that's why that's your day in court. And I've had carriers go in there. Like, I had an investigative interview case where there were four, might have only been three or four carriers who met for lunch and then extended their lunch. And they wound up being there for like 45 minutes, 48 minutes, something like that.
Where's their proof?
It was scanner data. Cat. I know. I understand that. However, the four scanner datas together makes a pretty compelling case that they were all
no there. Scanner data can be used.
That is correct.
And no covert observation can be used. That is considered correct. A covert observation.
Right. So that was part of our angle, is like management never saw them doing anything. And so what happens is management is looking for you to admit guilt. Mm-hmm. And so I tell the carrier, you can't lie about what happened. You know, but we can frame it in a way that makes it more reasonable, and we can attack the things that management can't prove. Like, they'll say, were you at this address for this amount of time? You know, I'm not sure. I know I went there for lunch, but I don't know exactly how long I was there. Right? So that
no, because that's not a good answer.
Well,
that's not a good answer.
Okay.
Okay. Because the management will say, well, if you don't know how long you were there, then obviously you're not paying attention to the time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. So the answers, the best answers is that this is where I take my lunch and then I move my parcels around to prep for the next route.
Yeah. And now that you mention it, yeah, mm-hmm. that is kind of the angle that we
took. Or I had to use the restroom.
Right.
You know, the reasons why it took you 45 minutes because, you know, technically,
why was your scanner there?
Yeah. Technically, if you look at every rules, federal and otherwise, is that anytime you take lunch, it has to be completely something that is not has to do with your work.
Right, you don't work at all.
And so, but the way our union has it put together is if you leave the route is when you start lunch, and when you arrive to your route is when you start your route.
Right.
So. But if you're at a parking lot at somewhere, maybe at 7-Eleven, you took lunch there and then you decide you want to rearrange your trucks to get prepared for the next street, that takes time.
Right. Okay? And that's starting
work. And that is post office work, which is now you're over with your lunch.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I think this was a while back, so I don't remember exactly how we set up the defense, but it was... You know, some of that, like anything in the investigative interview that management got wrong, we made sure that we said, no, this is absolutely not what happened. The scanner data is wrong. Whatever you're asking me is wrong. There was even one, if I remember right, that like what route they thought the carrier was on was not that route. And so we attacked all that in the investigative interview. And the moral of the story is you start with these three or four carriers who all met for lunch and were there for 45 minutes or whatever. Management wound up not issuing discipline at all because we... tore them apart so effectively in the investigative interview. And that's the point. That's the idea. You go in there thinking, oh, they got me dead to rights. No, they never have you dead to rights because management always screws something up.
Yeah. Again, there is nothing wrong with people meeting together for lunch because lunch is our time, not that's the post office time. So when all the managers say, oh, you can't be meeting together for lunch, that's BS. Mm. Now, and then they're going to say, well, your 1764B, 1564B says...
1564A. I used to teach it. It doesn't... Nobody knows what that form
is
anyway.
You know what form you're talking about, yeah. Okay? Where the issue is, that is just a saying that most likely that's where I'll be at for lunch. Doesn't mean that you will be there for lunch at all times. Why is that? Well, because we can't be having the same type of lunch every single day.
Yeah, and your schedule changes too. If you had auxiliary assistance, if you have an extra long day, if you get hungry early, whatever it is, there are factors that may change.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you could be running late because of parcels you were delivering, like Christmas time is running late. There's other reasons why that you could be going to a different place for lunch. Because you could be on a different part of your route when you decide to take your lunch, which is away from usually the lunch point that you go to. So you go to another spot.
Right. You know? So to get back on the topic of the investigative interview, again, this is your opportunity. Let's say you get an investigative interview for going outside of your line of travel. Well, if there's a good reason why you went outside your line of travel, This is where you bring it up.
Right.
And this is where you actively defend yourself.
And then when management uses a scanner data, okay, again, I know Corey Walton says a lot on this subject, that is a covert observation.
Right.
Because the management is actually to discipline somebody. They're supposed to physically able to see what this somebody is actually doing. Right. And usually takes two, because it takes one manager and a witness manager. Okay. And so otherwise, if there's a person, one person against one person, now it's hearsay.
Right. The scanner data is enough to give them suspicion that something might be going on, but then they have to actually verify. Right. And what they're doing is taking the lazy way out, where they're trying to verify it by just getting you to admit it.
To it.
Yeah. And if you don't admit to it, they don't have anything. Yeah.
And the thing Corey Walton always talks about, why the scatter data is not good, is because in our M39 actually says that management is not allowed to do covert observation and use any covert techniques.
Right, they have to be above board so in their observation.
Using scatter data is a covert technique.
Right, because generally if they're observing you, they come up, they say hello. Yeah, I had a carrier got an investigative interview for, you know, those, you've been hearing about these safety teams that are going out and looking to bust carriers. And the carrier actually called me when it happened. He got busted for no seatbelt, allegedly no seatbelt. And they tried to take him off the clock and send him home on a 16-7 emergency suspension. But he was waiting there for like 2 hours for the supervisor to come out. And we start making the argument that, is there still an emergency? How can this be an emergency when it's already 2 hours ago, nothing else has happened? You know, so that's attack number one. And then, well, when did you see this safety person? Oh, not until he came up to bust me. You know, so he didn't introduce himself. You know, you never saw him before that. No, he was down at the end of the street and he said he'd been following me for a while. Okay, well, and we start building all this case.
That's that covert technique.
That's exactly right.
Not allowed to do that.
Yeah. And so it went all the way from being an immediate suspension followed by what, based on the records, is a 14-day suspension based on what we've been hearing on NADA arbitration, to no discipline at all.
Now, here's a caveat that most people don't realize. You do realize that you are, as an employee, to make sure that everybody follows the safety rules, right?
Sure.
That means it's against a safety person that you're talking to also.
Right.
Are they curbing the wheel? Or do they still have their engine running? It doesn't matter if they're on a personal vehicle. Because if they want to be on a post office time to try to issue discipline, no matter if the manager is off or not,
right,
if they show up on their own personal vehicle and have their vehicle running, then you request a 4584 saying
the street
that
observation
because
form, yeah,
you are violating safety rules also. So I need a 4584 to let somebody else know,
right,
your supervisor know that you're violating safety rules.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And then you've got...
And then when you see them leave without a seatbelt, you file that too.
Right.
Did they curb their wheel? You file that. Are they parking in the middle of the street? You file that.
That's a really good point.
So they can't just come up to tell you, oh, you're not wearing a seatbelt, yet they're violating all these other rules.
Dude, it never even occurred to me. Yeah. This is why I love having Michael on the show. He's so sharp. And yeah, and then you have in your defense to discipline, you have a defense for disparate treatment. That, yeah, there's this other person violating these safety rules and you don't do anything about it. Dude, we have a disparate treatment issue at my station where I found in our blue Ubum recycling hampers that were out on the dock, a bunch of, go ahead, you give Annie what she wants. Annie is sitting here on the edge of the bed, just pawing at Michael, wanting his attention. So, oh, Annie is so happy. She loves it when Michael comes over. All right, so anyway, out in on our dock in the blue recycling bin, there were our weekly ads, the Advos, still in bundles thrown into these hampers. And so I saw what route it was from. At least the one that I saw. And I went in and I talked to the carrier and he's like, dude, I didn't delay any ads. I was off last week. And we've been having this problem of not getting ads delivered where we get them on Tuesday. So they've got to go out either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Friday comes, routes still have full ads. Saturday comes, routes still have full ads. And then I leave Saturday morning and there's still all these routes that have ads. I come back Saturday evening and the ads are gone, but it's not because the carriers delivered them. It turns out that management is actually taking these ads and throwing them into the recycling. Well, that's the delay and destruction of deliverable mail. And that's you know, in the interview that I just had with Mike Karif, he talked about that's one of the things that gets carriers fired. Well, how the hell does that not get management fired for doing stuff like that? So here again is like a case for disparate treatment where we're held to completely different standards. So this is part of a proactive defense that can be made starting at the investigative interview and going forward from there. So when they ask you, are you aware that you're not supposed to delay the mail? Your answer can be, well, management does it. I saw management, you know, put all these ads out into the UBIM and that, yeah.
I want to say something about that Advos. Now, Advos is the company that paid for us to deliver that mail,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And if we don't deliver it, then we're not doing their service, are we?
That's correct. Okay? They're not getting the service they
paid
for.
And there is a number that you can call and let them know that, hey, at my station, we didn't deliver the Advos, so they just threw it in a UBIM.
You can
report it.
Right. Yeah. So that's, again, getting back to the investigative interview, this is all foundational stuff that you want to lay out. Likewise, you know, most of your investigative interviews are probably going to be about attendance. And they're going to ask you to explain your unscheduled absence. Why did you call in this day? Why did you call in that day? And Michael, what do you suggest?
Well, okay. Well, I brought investigative interviews paperwork just to give you some example.
Okay? Oh, cool. Michael came prepared with props.
Yep. And so they'll ask you, like, this is an official investigative interview. The information obtained during this interview may result in disciplinary action up to and including removal and so on, so on, so on. And said, do you understand what was read to you? Well, everybody goes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your answer is supposed to be on that?
What?
Is, are you threatening me?
Oh, because they're saying it could lead to your removal. Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
Because you're not supposed to be a threat. It's supposed to be an investigation.
Dude, that never even occurred to me.
Okay.
Right.
So that answer should be, is why are you threatening me?
I mean, that has come up. So I've had investigative interviews for carriers who got injured.
Mm-hmm.
And then they report the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this. Mm-hmm. And I have had carriers do that. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, man, I just reported my injury. And you're threatening my job.
Right.
And that is so not okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's okay. A really good call.
And
right.
So because you're supposed to be just an investigative interview, not right. A threat saying you could be removed.
Right.
Okay.
But do they have an obligation to inform you that this could lead to discipline?
No. Say, this is just an investigative. We're trying to find facts and results of what happened on this situation. That's right. All really they have to say.
Right. The activation of the Weingarten uh-huh. rights is basically the employee's belief that mm-hmm. it could lead to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. And then they'll
I love this about Michael. He doesn't just take the status quo. He really thinks about, like, really looks at it with different angles. And, dude, it's awesome. Okay. Go ahead.
Then they'll have to ask you, are you aware of the proper procedure for reporting an unscheduled absence? Well, your answer,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's going to say yes, right?
Okay.
I'm not sure what the answer should be. Because you get, is that a phone call? Is that
right? Yeah, is light blue? Using what light is blue yeah. the proper procedure?
Yeah,
dude, that's a great. So this is already the theme here. Mm-hmm. Don't just say yes.
Yes,
management's trying to railroad you here.
Yeah.
And they want you to just say mm-hmm. yes to every question, and then they get everything they need.
And how often you watch any court drama or things like that and mm-hmm. with a lawyer, and the lawyer always says, don't say anything, don't say yes to anything,
right.
And don't volunteer any information that they
right,
need.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Right, don't give them anything extra.
Right. So, and then here's another one. Are you aware that you're required to be regular in attendance? Now, most carriers I will answer yes. Well, does that mean when you say yes, it means you got to be always in attendance? Because that's what management right. will use.
Yeah, I'll usually coach.
Because
go ahead.
You will see it on discipline. You confirm that you have to be required to be in attendance, right?
I'll usually coach my carriers to get a clarification that I'm not sure what the definition is of regular in attendance.
But you know what the best answer I've seen so far?
What's that?
I do the best I can.
Yeah, dude, 100%. Or I believe I am regular in attendance. Like, mm-hmm. dude, I had a carrier get busted for 3 absences in mm-hmm. 3 months. And the dude had like 2,000 hours of sick leave saved up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said, are you required to be regular in attendance? Yes, and I am regular in attendance. And then when management tries to issue their discipline and they're like, you were not regular in attendance. Well, dude, you never counseled the employee on like what the problem is. And you can absolutely, you set yourself up to be able to attack that on the back end.
Then they'll ask, are you aware that you must make every effort to report to work when scheduled? Now, if you really look at this, It's really the same question.
Yeah, it's an effort issue. Your mm-hmm. answer is, yes, I make every effort. This or is not a problem
I do
of
the
effort.
Best I can.
Yeah. Dude, when I do my interview of management afterward to fight the discipline, you know, I ask, like, do you think that the problem here is effort? That, or, like, if the carrier says that, like, my kid was sick with the flu, okay, what effort is the carrier lacking that would stop his kid from being sick with the flu? How is this an effort issue?
The next one is, are you aware that not being regular in attendance can lead to discipline? I go, okay. Well, I know that everything has to be corrective.
that's so good. Okay. Right.
Okay. And right. then, when was the last time you were made aware of the status of your attendance?
Oh.
So never.
What do you mean never? Okay, elaborate on that.
I'm going to elaborate on the fact that the status of attendance, they're supposed to go over that in your quarterly attendance review.
Okay.
They have never done it.
Well, some places they may do it.
But
they have
never
done attendance reviews. What do you mean they've never done it? I've had an attendance review before. They sit me down, they pull out my 3972.
And they go over the whole quarter?
Calendar. Yeah.
They go the whole quarter?
Yeah. You called in this day, you called in this day. It seems like you're fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That will be a very small majority of managers that does that.
Okay. Well, and even then, I don't know what qualifies as an attendance review.
Right. So, but anyway, when was the last time you were made aware of the status of attendance? So, you know, I don't think it's been done in a long time.
Sure. Yeah.
That could be another answer.
Right. The point is that you want to make sure that it's not front of mind. Mm-hmm.
We have a super...
If they did it... super recently, like maybe they did it that morning or the day before, and then they're going to try to bring in your absences from before that review. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to get that on record too. They're like, oh, you just did it yesterday. Yeah, because they're trying to set you up for this discipline when the absences you had before that were not reviewed, you weren't put on notice, and all those things.
This is the new thing that management is doing, is they're trying to do an attendance review the day after you come back from being sick.
Okay.
That's not attendance review. That's just that they're trying to strong arm you. They're trying
to harass
you, saying that why are you calling in sick? Okay? Right. That is not an attendance review and then they'll come up and say, well, you've got this many hours of sick leave. You got this many hours of annual leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an attendance review. They're supposed to go over the last quarter,
right?
Okay, and how it is.
Yeah. And there's those instructions in the ELM. Like, they always like to cite, what is it, 513 or something
in
the ELM.
Like that. Yeah.
And it says that, like, you know, that's where the regular in attendance comes from. But the two provisions right after that talk about management's obligations to, like, put you on notice and to give you instructions and things like that that they don't do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many things that they don't do. So when they try to issue discipline for attendance, most of the time it should be thrown out.
Dude, so... I was talking to Mike Cariff, and the listeners will have already heard this interview, but I know Michael hasn't heard it yet because I'm recording this like an hour after Cariff's interview. And he talked about, like, dude, there are carriers who deserve, I mean, this is not an exact, you know, it's a paraphrasing. There's carriers who deserve to get fired. But management still has to do their job.
Yes.
And if management did their job, then yes, sometimes it is reasonable to fire somebody. But management is so bad at doing their job that carriers just get away with it. And this is a great example of management not doing the follow through, not doing the proper investigation. One of the things Mike talked about, Mike Cariff, was timeliness. They're like, they'll put a carrier out on 16-7, and then 2 months later, they'll finally issue their discipline. And the union wins that on timeliness.
Yeah, but the problem is this. Our branch... allows management to go that long.
Well, I can't speak to that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So go on with the investigative interview.
And then here's another one. After reviewing your 3972, please explain why you have unscheduled occurrences in conjunction with your scheduled days off or holiday. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure. The in conjunction.
They're trying to make
pattern.
It like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But my answer to that would be is... I was incapacitated to work.
Incapacitated, right. Yeah. Right. So. Yeah, so, and I also instruct to say, like, you know, I'll pull them outside. Like, I want my carrier to be honest with me. You know, whatever we're going to tell management, like, we're not going to lie to management, but I need to know what's actually going on so that we can formulate a proper defense. Because I can't have a defense that's built on lies, because it's going to fall apart.
So, in the Employee Labor Manual, it actually says that if you're incapacitated to work...
right,
that you are allowed to call in sick.
Yeah.
So right. if you I say that, I was
incapacitated. Yeah, yeah, then exactly.
There's no argument.
Right. So I will have, I'll usually have the carrier say something like, that's random. You know, it's just a coincidence. And that satisfies that answer mm-hmm. because it is just a coincidence mm-hmm. in many cases. But also to your point of incapacitated, when you get to, they want you to explain specific absences, there are things that are covered in the ELM under sick leave of like why you can use sick leave. And incapacitated is one of them. Another one is infectious disease. And so if you have the flu, say I had the flu because the flu is infectious. And they don't want you coming to work when you're infectious. And if they still give you discipline, then when I interview that supervisor, I'm going to say, do you think that Michael should have come to work when he was infectious with the flu? And they can't say, yeah, whatever they say, we got him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, yeah, you can really cover yourself in the investigative interview. That's what it's for.
Gee, you mean like all those times when management told all those carriers that was out for COVID to come to work?
Dude, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the problem, right? And that's why
we're. And how many of disciplines went through and our union, or I'm sorry, our branch agreed to 6 months of discipline?
Dude, it was before my time.
Before you were a steward?
Yeah. I was an alternate. I wasn't doing anything back then.
But here's the thing. Out of my station,
yeah,
I had a grievance settlement out of during the COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually got a settlement with the station manager, said that if the carrier has any COVID-like symptoms, uh-huh. that no discipline will be issued to this carrier. And unless management has proof of any kind that says that the carrier is lying, other than that,
right.
they cannot issue any discipline.
Right.
Okay? Most of the time, like flu-like symptoms is a COVID-like symptoms, right?
Sure.
So I won this grievance at my station, and then it got to our branch. This is where I'm running and why Ellen's running.
Right.
Is that they told me by the hall, your grievance settlement is no good.
And issued it's the got six, a management and then, signature on it.
And then settled to 6 months of discipline for letter warning. For somebody who had COVID.
Oh my God. Dude.
This is the crap that we've gone right. through during COVID time
right.
With the current regime that's in the office.
Dude.
Okay? Yeah. And so this is the reason why I'm running. This is why you're running. Okay?
Yeah.
It's because these things need to stop. This is for the rumors that I get from people who did formal A's and some other people, okay?
Right, right.
The rumors I hear is our current president thinks he's a manager and he keeps telling everybody, well, they need to go to work.
Right. Oh, dude. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know. Right, just like when he had those charges brought up against him at the, you know, a few months back,
mm-hmm.
and he spent his defensive time essentially blaming the carrier mm-hmm. For doing wrong.
Always blaming the carrier instead right. of management doing the things wrong.
Yeah. You're right. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. The guy wants to be a manager.
So let's get back to the investigative interview.
Sure. All right. And then they'll ask, did you provide any documentation for unscheduled absence in question? If so, to whom did you provide it to? Okay. Mm-hmm. The answer was, there is no need. It's not more than 3 days.
Right.
And I did provide documentation as in a form of 3971.
Right, there's your documentation. Also, in the ELM, management can accept your statement as documentation. But yeah, for me, when I have when my carriers get asked that question, I'll tell them, well, did management ask you for it? You know, and if they don't, I got to get that on record that nobody ever asked me for documentation. Yeah. Documentation wasn't required. And then sometimes, so there's, right, again, that's your active defense that no, I wasn't expected to require documentation. And if management doesn't request it, dude, then no, why would I provide it? That there's your defense. But also, sometimes carriers provide documentation anyway for whatever reason. And if you did that, I damn sure want to get that on record. That yes, I provided documentation. This is who I gave it to. And how are you going to discipline me for this legitimate absence?
Oh, they do anyway.
I know they do anyway. And then that's how I attack it on the back end. And that's what you're doing, mm-hmm. right? A, you're setting a proactive defense. Yeah. Like when I leave that investigative interview, I want to feel like, dude, there's no way management can issue discipline over this because we killed him.
Well, then management now says that documentation is no good because it doesn't say incapacitation.
Dude. Yeah. I know. So anyway.
And then our hall agrees to 6 months of letter warning.
So with the investigative interview, right, I think you guys kind of get the idea that you're mounting an active defense in the investigative interview. This is just like being on the stand during the trial. Because again, this is the trial. The verdict is what management decides to do. And then if they make a flawed verdict, they may find you not guilty. I've had that happen in plenty of my investigative interviews. But if for some dumb reason they still find you guilty, okay, well, now we have the appeal laid in.
Yeah, now, you know, as you saw, documentation and so forth, management now will put you on deemed desirable whenever they feel like it. But again, I can go a whole episode on just
deemed desirable. Yeah, we talked about that previously. We talked about it before. It's not a thing. They have to use restricted sick leave.
Yeah, because their deemed desirable program was created for management to use when people go on restricted sick leave, not whenever they feel like it.
Okay? Right.
So if any managers put you on deemed desirable, make sure your steward knows immediately so they can file that grievance, because they're not allowed to do that. Right. They'll usually do it day before and day after holidays.
Right. And then they'll use it as like a blanket policy where they apply to multiple carriers. And it's not in accordance with what's in the ELM. Yeah. They're trying to do an end run.
And then out of this a little bit to other IIs.
Yeah.
Some of the IIs that management will ask is, are you make a conscious effort, or are you honest, and are you in your integrity, and are you reliable in your character, so and so and so, and your answer is, I do the best I can.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so any of these questions come up where, when it looks like you're leading you to a leading questions,
right?
Most of the stewards don't know what a leading question means, and they'll not that stop you from doing it. But if a good steward knows what a leading question is, they'll stop that question from happening and says that is a leading question that you do not have to answer.
Dude, and let's talk about accusatory questions.
Yeah, accusatory questions.
Yeah.
Well, you have been found that you took 45 minutes for lunch. Do you agree?
Yeah, or why did you extend your lunch on this day? Mm-hmm. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dude, we're supposed to be in here to find out whether I extended my lunch on this day.
Right.
And yeah, so you don't answer that question because it's accusatory.
Right.
Yep, absolutely. No, keep talking.
Oh, so yeah. So when it comes to accusatory and everything, also if a carrier is... still doesn't understand to not say yes to these questions. It is steward's responsibility, or whoever is the representative's responsibility, to do a caucus. Okay.
Yeah, where you take the carrier outside or out of to have a meeting. Earshot.
Yeah, yep. To outside have a meeting, take a break from that investigative interview, and then you can go outside and talk to the employee and hey, you are incriminating yourself. What are you doing?
Right, right, exactly.
Okay.
And so even if the carrier does wind up answering that question, like I object to the question, I give management the opportunity to reword the question. Do you want to reword this in a way that's not accusatory? And if they choose not to, and the carrier answers the question, now in my defense to discipline, I show that it's not an objective interview. And not a thorough investigation or whatever. They came in, already making up their mind.
Now, to change the subject real quick, because of the Weingarten rights.
Sure.
I just remembered something.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if management refuses and says that we're going to just use this person to be your representative. So there could be a steward that actually favors management and the carriers, because you have some of those too. And they're like, we're going to use them and not this person.
Right.
Okay? And, but it goes, no, your Weingarten right is you get to pick who you want.
Right.
Management does not. Okay. And then if the management says, no, you will do what I tell you. Well, when it comes to Weingarten rights, you do not have to follow that instruction. Okay. It's that this is who I want. I do not have to answer any of the questions.
Yeah.
So at that point, if they don't get the representative you want, you have the right to not answer. Don't answer anything. Just stay quiet. And if they say, employee is being, what's the word for it when they're not answering?
Being uncooperative?
Uncooperative. Yeah. Okay. Well, they said, why are you being so uncooperative? I said, I requested to see this person as the representative, and you refuse, so therefore I will not answer.
Okay. I want to read from our JCAM, the Joint Contract Administration Manual, the section on Weingarten rights. Federal labor law and what is known as the Weingarten rule gives each employee the right to representation during any investigative interview which he or she reasonably believes may lead to discipline. So that means when they come out on the street and say, hey, you weren't wearing your, you know, why weren't you wearing your seatbelt or whatever? That's a question that's going to lead to discipline. So you have Weingarten rights on the street. When you come back and they say, hey, what took you so long to deliver your route? And you're worried that if you know management's coming down on me, they may discipline me. That's a Weingarten issue. You have the right to ask for a steward. It's not just when you get brought into the office and they have their paper that they're reading from. It's any questioning.
So that the Alan said, if you're out in the street and they go, why aren't you wearing a seatbelt? That is the best time to say, I need to see a shop steward.
Damn right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That way you don't have to answer anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had an issue at my station where a manager decided to come and check on a carrier because supposedly, I don't know what she was doing, at 8:30 at night.
Okay.
So my carrier was out at 8:30
still
at night.
Still delivering the mail, right?
Still delivering mail.
Yeah.
Doing favors for management because other carriers brought the mail back because they had to go for some reason.
Sure, sure.
So he was still around and said, helping out the managers to deliver all those mail so that he's out there 8:30 at night. And this manager decided, oh, I think he's not wearing a seatbelt, so I'm going to do a 16-7 on this carrier.
Dude.
At 8:30 at night. He's like, well, thankfully I can go home now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, he's already working 12 hours.
Dude.
Right?
Okay.
And but here's the thing. How can she see the seatbelt at 8:30 at night in the dark?
Question. Yeah, that's a fair question.
Okay. What is she doing out at 8:30 in the night who's not from my station going around checking on carriers?
I mean, maybe the manager was just out there like running her errands and saw
again,
the carrier.
If they're off duty, they're technically not working for the post office.
Okay, see, this is where Michael's experience is so valuable.
And again, it's also hearsay.
Sure.
Because it's on one-on-one. It for management to make sure this kind of thing stick, they need at least witnesses. Okay? And then they also have to show like actual evidence on why they believe this thing happened.
Right, because
where's the evidence?
Burden of proof is on management in a discipline case.
You go to court and say, I saw this person not wearing a seatbelt at 8:30 at night to a judge. And then you go, I wore a seatbelt. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You will win because the judge is going to look at it. It's 8:30 at night. It's completely dark. How can you see this person?
Right. Okay, so going on with the Weingarten rule, it says the Weingarten rule does not apply to other types of meetings, such as discussions. Article 16.2 provides that for minor offenses by an employee, discussions shall be held in private between the employee and supervisor. Such discussions are not disciplined and are not grievable, and so you don't have a Weingarten right for those. Now, this is something that management should actually be doing. This should be step one of discipline, where they talk to you and they're like, hey, we noticed that you're doing this thing wrong. Like, we noticed you're calling in sick a lot, and we'd sure like for you to call in sick less. Would you like maybe some nutritional counseling or whatever? I don't know.
Or driving by and said, you know what? I don't think you were wearing a seatbelt, so please just make sure you're wearing a seatbelt.
Yeah, that's a discussion. Right, you know? And that's...
Because all discipline has to be corrective.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Not
did
punitive.
They make an effort to try to correct the problem before trying to be
before
punitive.
Resorting to discipline? Yeah,
which
that's right.
She was trying to. Who's not even from my station?
Yeah. Okay, so it goes on. The Weingarten rule applies only when the meeting is an investigatory interview, when management is searching for facts and trying to determine the employee's guilt or decide whether or not to impose discipline. So again, that's where all these things, where management starts asking these pointed questions, you better get your steward. Whether or not an employee's belief is reasonable, like do they have a reasonable belief it will lead to discipline, depends on the circumstances of each case. Some cases are obvious, such as when a supervisor asks an employee whether he discarded deliverable mail. The steward cannot exercise Weingarten rights on the employee's behalf. Unlike Miranda, which applies in criminal matters, the employer is not required to inform the employee of Weingarten rights representation. And yeah, Michael already talked about that.
And that is where knowing the rules will save your butt.
That's right. And that is the whole point of classes of mail. It's empowering you as a carrier to protect yourself, to take care of yourself, so that you have the best postal career possible.
And this is where I tell a lot of carriers, do the SIA, cover your ass.
Right. If you're not sure, just ask for that steward. Nothing bad happens when you ask for the steward.
Yep.
Especially if you ask for the steward and management tells you no, then that means that this discussion will not lead to discipline. And so then if they try to issue discipline based on that, well, that's it. That's your get out of jail free card. All right, going on. Employees also have the right under Weingarten to a pre-interview consultation with a steward. And your steward should be doing that. As soon as you find out what that discipline or that interview is about, your steward should be taking you aside and be like, okay, you know, let's talk about this. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? What happened? All those things.
What situation are they talking about?
Right.
Is it for attendance? You know, if the steward should know, because the steward should ask the management what this discipline is about.
What's the subject?
Yeah. And then the steward should inform you and in, you know, how to proceed with the investigative interview
right.
without lying.
Yeah, and if they don't tell you and allow you to have this pre-interview consultation, they're violating your Weingarten rights. Mm-hmm. All right, and then going on, in a Weingarten interview, the employee has the right to a steward's assistance, not just a silent presence. The employer would violate the employee's Weingarten rights if it is refused to allow the representative to speak or tried to restrict the steward to the role of passive observer. So yeah, your steward should be actively involved in this process, giving you advice, questioning the questions, getting clarifications. All of those things are completely appropriate for the supervisor. Management will try to bully, or appropriate for the steward. Management will try to bully stewards into just being quiet and just letting them, hey, this is my interview. I'm asking the questions.
Well, here's the issue with that. The whole thing about investigative interview is about fact-finding. So if management tells the steward to be quiet, well, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to be just punitive, or are they trying to do fact-finding?
Right. And whatever it is, that's in violation of Weingarten. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another item that most people don't realize, okay, because it doesn't happen very often, is that if you criminally, you get caught by OIG, or postal investigator, okay, or postal inspector, And they say that you did something wrong or whatever. They want to investigate or have an interview you at the whatever the place they want to have an investigation with you.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right to have steward present at that time also.
Yeah,
they cannot refuse you the steward right. also.
Yeah, those are different rights. I forget what that one is called.
But that's also like a Weingarten right.
Yeah, it's the same sort of deal.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you can request to see a union representative or you can ask for a lawyer. Either way, you can still get some kind of help.
If it's like a criminal investigation,
Which is better than not doing it. If they do not provide you with a steward or a lawyer when that comes, you do not have to answer anything.
There you go. That's it. All right, guys. So hopefully this empowered you. If you're a steward, if you're a carrier, these rights are incredibly important to protecting yourself from discipline and protecting yourself from management bullying and overreach.
Again, just wanted to remind everyone that this is your day in court.
That's right.
So if you say, oh, I am guilty, they will use that against you.
Yes, they certainly will. And that's exactly what they are hoping you will do.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Michael, for coming in. And we will catch you all next time.